Boy, it is easy to live by what you see and by what you feel, is it not? Even to walk into this place and to not feel like singing those words, or to not feel that God is close, or to feel that things are amazing today, and therefore it's easier to sing. I don't think that song discourages us from ignoring what we are feeling, but to say that there is something deeper and truer that calls us and that beckons to us, and we are reminded of that when we gather together here. So thanks for singing along on that one. Kudos to the two young women in the back who are pretty much running the show this morning. I just want to call that out, you know, because in not many places would there be students leading things like that. They would not be entrusted to run the sound. I mean, I promise you, I've been at churches where you like had to go through a course, you know, and had to, you know, share your credentials and all those sorts of things. So grateful for that. Grateful for the kids that are up here playing. It contributes to our life together. Yes, thanks, Kevin. First through fourth graders need to head on downstairs. That's why Bethany's standing in the back. Good reminder. Good reminder. Appreciate that. That's right, yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking this week about how easily I overlook the ordinary. How I misjudge what is common. I don't see how extraordinary the everyday things of life are. And maybe that's because you and I live in a world that's pretty obsessed with the spectacular. Would you agree? If it doesn't create a headline, who cares? Right? If it doesn't go viral, we don't watch it. If there aren't laser lights in a fog machine, we're not interested. Right? We love the spectacular, our culture does. And we might even be obsessed with it. And so I think one of the causes or one of the repercussions of that is that we overlook the ordinary. Because if it's ordinary, then what does it really matter? But the parables we've been looking at and the one that we'll look at today challenge us to think otherwise. In fact, I want to invite you to turn to Matthew 13. 31 to 35, just a few verses in a chapter that's actually full of parables. We've been here already once in this series. So we'll get to Matthew 13 in a second. I want to just illustrate how easily we overlook the ordinary. And do a little practice as well that I think might help root us and prepare us for this time. I'm curious when the last time was that you paid attention to your breath. I mean, there's not much more ordinary than breathing. Would you agree? And yet, if you think about it, it is life itself entering and leaving your body every moment. I mean, how long can you hold your breath? 30 seconds, a minute, minute and a half maybe, you can go without this practice. It's so commonplace that we overlook it. We don't think about it. We're designed actually to not have to think about it, and that's a good thing. But the breath that you have is actually one of the most extraordinary things. Both the fact that you are alive, that's extraordinary. And if you want to geek out on the anatomy and the physiology of breathing, I mean, it's wild. I don't know what you picture your lungs to be. If you think your lungs are just sacks of air that kind of expand and contract, they're not. They're like a tree. Correct me if I'm wrong, doctor, but you know, they're like a tree, right? You have your air pipe coming into your lungs, it splits into two branches, and then from there it's just branch after branch after branch, all the way down till the smallest branches are as large, they're as wide as a cell. And then there's this exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide at this cellular level, which of in and of itself is miraculous. If you study the chemistry and what's going on there, it's unbelievable. This happens every moment of your life right now. The ordinary getting overlooked. The extraordinary happening right in front of our noses. So let's just pause for a moment and let's just maybe get in touch with the extraordinary. I want to invite you to get into a posture that's comfortable, get things out of your hands, sit up straight. A moment of good posture, which none of us have, of course. Get those shoulders back, you know. And all I want to invite you to do here for the next 30 seconds or so is just notice your breathing. Don't change your breathing necessarily, just notice it. Be aware of it as you breathe in and out. Breathing is so ordinary, and yet it is anything but. So I think Jesus invites us to not overlook the ordinary. And we'll see that in these parables that we're going to read. So Matthew 13, here we go. Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast the woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Those are our 2 parables. I just could not tack on these couple of verses afterwards. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. And this fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. In other words, parables contain deep, deep, deep truth that extends all the way back to the beginning of time. All right, so those are the 2 parables, mustard seeds and yeast. Here's a couple things that are worth noting, I think, that these parables highlight for us. One is that the kingdom comes in the most ordinary of things. Think about all the things Jesus could have chosen to talk about the kingdom, to compare it to the kingdom. The temple, he could have used the temple. The kingdom of heaven is like the temple, the most kind of glorious structure known to man. The kingdom of heaven is like a battalion of troops, a powerful force. You know, it's like the pyramids of Egypt, could have done anything. And he chooses a mustard seed and yeast. Mustard seeds were common, easy to get. Anyone could plant them. Nothing really special about a mustard seed. Quite ordinary. And yeast. How many of you are bakers here? How many of you have baked a loaf of bread? Let's qualify that. Anyone baked a loaf of bread? Yep, good, good, good. So how about sourdough especially? What's the thing that we all pass around to each other? Right, the starter, right? The starter. That's actually what is being talked about here. When you read yeast in Matthew 13, don't think about the little packets you put in your refrigerator, okay? Not that. This is likely a starter that's passed around from home to home, that's kept every time a loaf is needed to be made. So every baker has this. Every home in Jesus' time probably has this because everyone is eating bread. So Jesus, in choosing these two things, is saying that the kingdom of heaven is like the most ordinary of things. I think Jesus is inviting us in these parables to wipe the crusty sleepies, you know, from our eyes, to wake up and to see again all of the ways that the kingdom of heaven shows up here, now, right in front of us in the most ordinary of things. I would also go as far to say that I think Jesus is saying that seeds, literally a seed, is a sign of the kingdom. We'll get to the metaphorical part here in a moment, but I as I've sat with this, kind of think that Jesus is maybe actually even saying that a seed itself is a sign of the kingdom of God. When an acorn becomes an oak tree that produces buckets of acorns that feed squirrels and birds and that produces more oak trees, that is actually the kingdom of God, heaven coming to earth. It is earth as it should be, an oak tree being an oak tree. And when a starter, yeast, is mixed into a loaf, into dough, into eggs or whatever else, I don't know, goes into bread, salt, I imagine, baking powder, I'm not sure, you know. And when all of that gets mixed in and it's used to make bread that feeds humanity, that is the kingdom come to earth. Or when a person makes a phone call to a hurting friend, or when you're caught in traffic in the mall and you let the other driver go in front of you and take the spot. Or when you grab a rake and walk over to the neighbor's yard and help them clean up. The kingdom of heaven is coming in the most ordinary of things. And when God's kingdom does come, another thing I think these parables challenge us to think about is just how much potential and abundance there is in God's kingdom. Think about a seed for a moment. Is there anything more packed with potential than a seed? I mean, not only does it grow, that's crazy enough, it grows into something completely different, right? Seeds don't grow into bigger seeds. Seeds grow into trees or mustard plants or whatever it might be. Something radically is transformed when a seed is put into the ground. It's packed with so much potential to undergo this really wild transformation. I mean, if I told you that that became that, would you believe me? If you didn't know how biology worked, if you hadn't maybe just you dropped in to planet Earth and someone said, oh yeah, that thing becomes that thing, would you believe me? Probably not. That is packed with so much potential. And a starter, you know, starter dough is really no less impressive. I mean, bakers, again, if you, those of you who have used a starter, can you describe to us what it looks like, what it smells like, what it feels like? What is it? Squishy, yep. Slimy, sticky, kind of gross. What does it smell like? Yeah, funky, right? It's not a great smell. And you're like, that produces that? I mean, is there anything better than, you know, freshly baked bread out of the oven? I mean, come on, right? How does that play a role in that happening? You would never guess it. You would never guess it if someone said, put this in the oven and mix it up with a bunch of stuff and then put it in the oven and it'll be amazing. You'd be like, no, that's gross and disgusting. It's slimy, it's funky. I'm not going to do that. Thank you. seeds and starter, you know, yeast, are absolutely packed with potential to become something completely other than what they are. And Jesus is telling us this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. When God's kingdom comes, when heaven comes to earth, there is so much potential. There's so much possibility for things to change and become something new. Jesus makes this clear. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Now, friends, mustard seeds do not become trees. Do you know this? This is biology 101. It doesn't happen, actually. What's Jesus doing here? Does it become maybe the largest of the garden plants? Yep. That's miraculous in and of itself, as we've talked about, the fact that a seed becomes something completely different. But then Jesus, like, takes the dial and turns it up to an 11, you know, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Go, Jesus. Right? And he says, no, it becomes a tree. It becomes a tree big enough for the birds to land in and make their nests. There is so much potential in the kingdom of God that even a seed, which is miraculous in and of itself, becomes something entirely different. It doesn't even become a mustard seed plant. It becomes a tree. That's how much potential is packed in the ordinary things of life that are done with kingdom purpose. Think about that phone call to a hurting friend. It's an ordinary thing. It's a phone. It's a few words. But it isn't just a phone call, is it? That reach out, that act of compassion contains so much more potential than you and I are even aware of to bring heaven to earth. Or when you let that driver in on 28th Street, it may seem like a big deal in one way, and in another way, you may be able to say it's not really that big of a deal. But you have no idea what that person who you are letting in, you have no idea what kind of day they've had. You have no idea where they are in their life. You have no idea how many times people haven't let them in. You have no way of knowing the way in which that small act can lead to something much bigger. Or that rake that you picked up and brought to your neighbors, it's just a rake, right? Just a little bit of time, but is it? Is it possible, in fact, that that rake could be encouragement, joy, that it could even be relationship? Hey, Jesus is saying something like, don't underestimate the ordinary. Don't think that because it isn't spectacular, it isn't worth doing. And don't underestimate the abundance that can come when heaven and earth meet. Listen to this part again. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Anybody know? Maybe your Bible tells you in a footnote, or maybe it translates. What's 3 measures, roughly, in our equivalency? Does anybody have it in their Bible? 60 pounds of flour. Yeah, some of you are like, what? So what is Jesus doing again? It's not an accident. Why is he telling the story this way? What's he trying to get across, right? He's using hyperbole now twice, a mustard seed becoming a tree, and this woman baking with 60 pounds of flour. What's he saying? I think one of the things is that, again, now, when heaven comes to earth through our ordinary actions and words, the possibility of an enormous, abundant harvest being produced, that's what's possible. It's not that one person's going to get fed. It's that you could feed your village. There's this constant push to help us think about the kingdom of God as a kingdom of abundance. I mean, think about the other stories that are in the New Testament with Jesus. The feeding of the how many? Yeah, you know this, 5,000, feeding the 5,000. First of all, that's crazy, right? That's crazy. 5,000 from a few loaves and fish. Do you remember what happens at the end of the story? There's leftovers. Now think about this. You are a famished, day-to-day, living, fighting your way through the world person. That's who Jesus is interacting with. You don't know where your bread might come from tomorrow, and now you're on a hillside, and all of a sudden there are baskets of bread and fish being passed around. Are you going to take just a little bit? You know, just, thank you so much. I'll just take a quarter of a fish. No, you are going to grab whatever you can, right? Because this is like feast time, and suddenly there's all sorts of food showing up, and you don't get a lot of food, and so you're going to eat until you are full. Everyone ate plenty, I assure you, and then yet there were leftovers. Baskets full of food. Why? Because the kingdom of God is about abundance. That there's more than enough. What about the wedding at Cana? Jesus is, you know, often talked about first miracle, right? Wedding parties happening, and it's great, but oh no, after everyone's had a glass or two, the wine is out. It's not good for the host. Jesus' mom says, hey, why don't you turn those things of water into wine? He's like, no, not the right time. No, you should really do it. And so he does it. Do you know how many gallons of wine he made? It's like 120 to 180 gallons when you do the math. What? Why? 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 This is not that big of a party. Why not 10 gallons? 20 gallons? That seems like that should suffice. Would you not agree? 120? What is going on? Again, I think it is a foretaste. Jesus is pointing to something else and saying that the kingdom of God is one of abundance. Now, we live in a world that is trying desperately to convince us that the world is one of scarcity, that there is not enough of anything, not enough happiness to go around, not enough jobs, not enough money, not enough whatever it is. You don't have enough clothes. You don't have enough of those gadgets. I don't care what it is. The constant message is that you don't have enough, and there's not enough to go around for everybody. So guess what you better do? You better hold tight to what you have. You better put your arms around it. You better squeeze it. You better make sure that no one else gets it, right? This is our world that we live in. And Jesus is trying to get us to see something different. The kingdom of heaven shows up through the most ordinary of things. It is one of potential and abundance. And it involves action and trust. So the woman puts the starter into the dough, mixing it in, which again, with 60 pounds of flour, it's going to take a while, right? She had to work, okay? She had to work. There was action required. And the other parable, it's a farmer who plants a seed. Now, seeds don't just accidentally get planted. It is an intentional, deliberate act. And so, yes, Jesus is saying, we have a role to play. In the coming of the kingdom of God, we have a role to play. Make no mistake, the things that we do and say, they matter. And they carry immense potential to create abundance. But notice that after the farmer and the baker take action, both of them have to wait. Are you tracking on that one? What do you do once you've mixed in everything into the dough? Yeah, you have to let the dough rest. You have to let it prove, right? You have to. It just has to be. You've done what you can do. You've played your part, and now you're waiting, right? You're waiting. What about a seed, for goodness sake? Right? Seeds don't germinate overnight. Days, even weeks have to pass before anything breaks through the soil. Both of them take time, which means that they also take trust. Those of you who have baked bread, you know that, again, once you've done your part, kind of got to put the dough off to the side and just hope that it works, right? Trust that it's going to do what chemistry does and that you kind of mixed it as you should have, but now it's kind of out of your hands, right? And again, the seed. When we plant a seed in our spring garden, you know, carve out the rows, drop the seed in. When I cover it up with dirt, I'm often praying a prayer. Oh, I hope this works, God. Oh, God, please make this come up in the spring. Because like once I've done that, once I've done my part, there's nothing else to do. And I can't influence whether that seed comes out of the ground or not. I've done what I can. Now it's up to something more. Something else has to happen. See, heaven coming to earth, it does involve our participation. There are things to say and things to do, things to mix in and seeds to sow. Make no mistake about it. And it is also beyond us. It is not completely within our control. We play our part, but then we have to trust that God will do what God has promised to do. That God will cause the seed to grow, the yeast to expand, which I know is not easy. We'd probably prefer to be in control of the whole thing, wouldn't we? To be able to just kind of do step 1, 2, and 3, and bam-o, the kingdom shows up. Mix this, plant that, bam, heaven comes to earth. Wouldn't that be nice? Doesn't really seem to work that way, though. That's not how heaven comes to earth. It's not completely within our control. We're called to play our part and then to trust that playing our part is enough. And God is faithful to do the rest. That God is faithful to unlock the potential of our action, to take our action and to multiply it in ways we could not have expected it to be multiplied. See, Jesus tells us in these parables that God is trustworthy. And if we pause and reflect for a moment, I think our experience affirms this. Take a casserole, for example. About as ordinary as it gets, isn't it? Some ingredients thrown into a dish, plopped in the oven. I mean, we use casserole to mean, we use it in a way always it's mundane. I mean, no one's like, hey, let's go out for casserole, right? No, it's like, yeah, we had a casserole potluck. You know, it's like it's ordinary. It's fine, it's good, but it's very ordinary, very ordinary. And yet, if you make a casserole and bring it to someone who's had a rough week, who hasn't had time themselves to make dinner, who's lost someone that they love, that casserole becomes infused with so much potential to do so much more than you might ever expect a casserole to be able to do. The kingdom of heaven somehow is present in the act of generously making and bringing a casserole. And its impact can be far, far reaching. I remember when my dad died, we were all still pretty young. I was in high school. My brothers were younger than I was. And some folks brought, I don't know who it was, they brought 2 bags of groceries. I remember coming home from school and finding them on our front porch. And I remember in that moment thinking, wow, people love us. People are thinking about us. I mean, that was a formative moment for me as a kid. And look at, this is 24 years later. And I'm still telling you the story because it has done something. It has shifted the way I think. It has helped form how I view community and what I think kind of matters when we commit our lives to. Okay, do you get the point? It is an ordinary bag of groceries. It's just a bag of food. It is not just a bag of food. It is something so much more that can lead to an abundance, a transformation that's radical. Now, that person who brought the bag of groceries, they had a part to play. Guess what it was? Buying the bag of groceries and dropping them off at our house. After that, did they have any control? They had no control over what happened, how we received it. They had no control that that act of generosity would change my life and that I would be telling that story 24 years later. They had none of that in their mind when they brought a bag of groceries. Do you see what I'm saying? The kingdom of God, when it comes through our ordinary actions, has the potential to do so much more than we ever could know or be aware of. Think about helping someone, the offer to help a rake in a neighbor's yard. Ordinary, simple, half an hour of your time, not a big deal, right? Friends, that action has the potential to bring heaven to earth. When I look back on my life, some of my most significant friendships took their first steps when people showed up at our house and served us. Now, they didn't come thinking, you know what, if we go over and help them paint today, maybe we can become lifelong friends. Great idea. Yeah, that's an excellent strategy. Let's take advantage of that. That wasn't what was happening, right? They're like, hey, the DeBlaze could use a hand. Let's go over and help them paint. And they did. And something in the seed of that action grew into something much larger than I ever would have been able to expect or know. Now, not every action that we take leads to a lifelong bestie, you know. But I'm just trying to get our minds thinking big enough, having our imagination renewed enough to see the ordinary actions of our lives in different ways than we might normally. To not overlook the everyday, to not dismiss the mundane, but to understand that God can use the most basic, simple, everyday action to bring heaven to earth. The kingdom shows up through the most ordinary of things, and it is one of potential and abundance. Yeah, and it involves action and trust. I think all of those things are true. But maybe a takeaway this morning is even a more basic reality, that the kingdom of heaven comes at all. This earth in all of its craziness and chaos is the place where heaven still shows up. And that may be some of the best news of all. That despite our, you know, inconsistencies and our mistakes, and despite the fact that we don't believe and we doubt, and despite all of the efforts to thwart the kingdom of heaven, it still comes. It still shows up. It still breaks in. Would we be people who could see it when it does and celebrate it? Could we be people who do things and say things that plant seeds of its arrival? It's what we do when we share this meal. We're really doing something pretty crazy. We're saying that somehow in bread and some grape juice from Meijer, you know, the kingdom comes, heaven shows up here. That takes some faith. That takes believing more than we see or feel, as we sang earlier. But it is the consistent claim of the gospel that God meets us in the most ordinary of things, bread and juice. That God comes to us when one person passes to another a cup and says, "This is Christ's blood shed for you." That in the most simple of meals, the extraordinary happens. So today, as we share this together, may your eyes be opened a little bit more to the ways in which the extraordinary show up in the ordinary. May your heart be open a little bit more to seeing all of the ways that heaven is coming to earth. This, friends, this meal, this bread and cup, they are God's gift to us today. Amen. Kevin, the body of Christ broken for you. Heather, Christ's body broken for you.